Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Pastor Shoga.
Good afternoon.
I hope you're well this afternoon.
I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. And thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're talking about, stewardship once again. And we're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, that says, "Do you not know that your bodies are the temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." The principle of stewardship is often viewed as and discussed from a financial perspective. But today, I want to go a little different and deeper into a holistic understanding of stewardship. Now, Pastor, please do speak to us about stewardship as it relates to our physical bodies. What does that mean, that our bodies are not our own? I thought it's my body.
Actually, when you read from Psalm chapter 24, verse 1, the Bible says the world and the fullness thereof belongs to the Lord, even those that dwell therein. So because we didn't create ourselves, we do not give life to ourselves. Mm-hmm. Life comes from God.
Okay.
So we belong to God. And that concept of our bodies belonging to God means actually we are accountable to God for how we make use of this body that we have. But many times when we talk about it, people would want to speak about it maybe from a negative perspective, to say, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, because your body doesn't belong to you. But our understanding that we are accountable to God also stretches to actually what we ought to do so that we can glorify God. Using our talents to the best of our ability, our minds, our hands, our legs, our mouth as we speak, everything, the voice, using it to the fullest of its potential, because we know we belong to someone else and we need to glorify him by the way that we do whatever we do. So doing this and reaching our full potential shows that we respect the God who has given us the gift of life, and it gives him much pleasure when we are the most excellent kinds of people that we can be. I want you to imagine how a father feels pride when their child is excelling in life. This is the same way God feels about us when we make the best of ourselves. So yes, our bodies don't belong to us. There is a negative side. Don't do this. Don't touch that. Don't destroy this body. But there is the positive side also of the good things that we can do as we give glory to God with our bodies.
Well, quite interesting. Thank you so much, Pastor. But you know what? And I've heard people saying that, well, you saying it's it doesn't belong to me, etc. But God has given it to me, so I can make decisions about it. For instance, I love this body, so I'm going to put some nice jewelry on it. I'm going to put some beautiful shining things on the ear, and I'm going to put some nice shining neck pieces. And what's wrong with that? Because I'm beautifying what God has given me. Nothing wrong with that.
I get that type of argument. And it follows in the line of what I was saying. As long as what I'm doing is good and doesn't harm this body, then I have no problem. But the other principle that God speaks about our bodies is that even as we dress and everything, our dress should not draw attention to ourselves. Because everything that we do should bring glory to the God who created us. And because this is the reason why we were created, I know it sounds counterintuitive, but that's actually how we can get the greatest satisfaction and fulfillment in life. We do not get satisfaction and fulfillment from concentrating on ourselves, but we get satisfaction and fulfillment when we give glory to God because he created us for himself.
Now,
and we are most like ourselves when we live for that ideal and that purpose.
Yeah. So what you're saying to me is that if somebody meets you and you are dressed to the nines and, man, you got that cologne and you're feeling good, nicely shaven and stuff like that, and a brother comes and says, Manuel, my goodness. Oh, and they go on and saying the way how you look and, you know, excellent. You, of course, you're going to feel good about it. And that attention comes to you.
Yeah, yeah.
And that attention comes to you.
Sure.
So is there something untoward with that?
Sure, sure, sure. Because we as human beings were created in the image of God, mm-hmm. so that we can reflect his glory.
I see.
So instead of drawing people to ourselves, we should always draw them to God.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not mean we shouldn't be smart. But there is a place where you are overdoing it.
Okay.
And it's becoming unnecessary. The energy and the expense that I would go through in order to get there could actually be used to do something that is you. So shouldn't this outward adorning just looking for glory to myself.
Yeah. Well, that's a fantastic way to look at it. Thank you so much for that. Now, in what ways do we acknowledge God's ownership of our bodies?
So when we acknowledge that we belong to God, it gives us a sense of accountability. And I believe that was supposed to help Christians to be the most successful, the most excellent people in the world, because they cannot take themselves lightly. They know that they will account for their abilities, time and everything. So they try to make the best of this. So I believe if we believe we belong to someone else, and we are working so that we will be able to have something to present to the God who owns us and say, this is what I did with the body you gave me. It was going to make us even to become more and to become more responsible in everything that we do.
That's fantastic. Now, when we speak of stewardship of our possessions, does the principle of tithing still stand in 2025? I mean, was this teaching not done away on the cross under the new covenant?
So when you talk about tithing, I think one principle that is very, very important in understanding the Bible is that if you want to understand a teaching, go to where it started.
I see.
That's when you will get the root. And then you will know the purpose and the meaning.
Yeah.
So tithing was first given as it is presented to us in the Bible by Abraham. And he did it in Genesis chapter 14. Where he was coming back from war. And Melchizedek, when you read verse 18, the king of Salem brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. Verse 19, and he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth.
Yeah.
And he blessed be the Most High God, which had delivered thine enemies into thine hand. And he gave him tithes of all.
Yeah.
So you will notice in this context, tithing is being done as an acknowledgement that God is the possessor of heavens and the earth. God is the one who blesses, and God is the one who delivers us. This is the theological background for tithing.
Okay.
So my belief is when we go to where this began, and the Bible makes it clear, it's being done in the context of acknowledging God as owner, acknowledging God as the one who blesses. As long as God is still the owner and God is still the possessor, tithing would still be valid. And to strengthen this idea, I would like to take you to Genesis 28, where Jacob meets God. And God promises that he's going to bless him and that he's going to protect him and that he's going to make him a great nation. You remember when Jacob woke up in chapter 28, he blessed the Lord. And he began to worship. And when you get to verse 20, he vowed a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go and will give me bread to eat, I'm reading from verse 20, and raiment to put on so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone which I have set for a pillar, verse 22, shall be God's house. And of all that thou shalt give me, I'll surely give a tenth. Do you notice the same conviction with Abraham is the same conviction with Jacob? If God is with me, he protects me, and he gives me food, and gives me raiment, which is blessings. He says, I will respond by returning a tithe, because this was a way of acknowledging that God is with us and God is providing for us every way.
Mm.
And as Jacob and Abraham are doing this, there is no Old Testament sanctuary. There is no Levitical system. So I want us to then establish from the beginning that tithing existed before the temple and the Levitical system. Before the all this thing that we are talking about was there, tithing was already there as an acknowledgement of who God is to our life. So once we establish that theological position, we can then ask ourselves, if we are today to say as New Testament Christians, tithing was done away with the old covenant, I'll then ask myself, what about tithing is tied to the ceremonial practices of the children of Israel that pointed to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross? Because the reason why we say the ceremonial law is no longer binding is because it was pointing towards Jesus Christ, and it found its fulfillment when Jesus Christ was sacrificed for us on the cross. So to continue to practice those ceremonies would almost be a denial of what Jesus Christ had done for us. This is why the Bible says these were only a shadow of things to come. I then ask myself, is tithing one of those ceremonies that are a shadow of things to come? I do not see any element in tithing, because the theological basis of tithing is that God is the owner, God is the provider who blesses us, God is the one who delivers us. As an acknowledgement of that covenant relationship of walking with God, we return a tenth. And that tenth is not done for God's benefit, but it is done for us.
Yeah.
So that we can continue to acknowledge the place of God in our life.
Mm. Now, the tithe, you know, and it's a beautiful explanation that you've given. I'm just trying to check now. We don't see much of an emphasis, you know, about it in the New Testament. And we see a lot of emphasis on the offering instead. Doesn't that give the credence then to the fact that perhaps it was part of the old covenant?
Yes, a person could be forgiven to think like that. You know, there's an interesting thing I want you to discover today about tithe. When you read the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 16, I'm coming to the New Testament. You will notice there is something that God says about the Sabbath in Exodus chapter 16. When they are talking about how the Sabbath is holy unto the Lord. When you're doing a reading, verse 23 of chapter 16, it says, "And he said unto them, this is what the Lord had said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord." So the Sabbath is holy unto the Lord. When you read Leviticus chapter 27, we no longer have time to read it. You will also notice that the tithe is holy unto the Lord. The same language that is used on the Sabbath is the same language that is used on the tithe, meaning that qualitatively these things are the same. They point to the place of God in our life. And interestingly, both the Sabbath and the tithe are not re-emphasized in the New Testament, because their holiness is assumed. The New Testament doesn't get to a point where it feels that this can ever be doubted. So it is assumed, and the people in the New Testament are seen as practicing the Sabbath rather than Jesus Christ reenacting the law, because its holiness is assumed. When Jesus Christ speaks about tithe, when he's talking about justice, he tells the Pharisees that you tithe the mint and the anise, but you leave the weightier matters of the law. Jesus doesn't say the tithe has been done away with. He says you should have done this, but without leaving the other. So he actually upholds the sanctity of both, to say this you should have done without neglecting the other. Jesus had a very good opportunity when he spoke to the Pharisees to say, forget about this tithing that you're doing of the mints and the anise and whatsoever. But he actually says, this you should have done without neglecting the other.
Mm. Yeah, and will the church crumble or fall if we don't return a tithe?
God has various ways to support his work.
Mm.
One day when Peter wanted text for himself and Jesus Christ, Jesus says, go to the river, catch a fish. The first fish that you catch, there is going to be money in there, and use it to pay our text.
Mm, 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 mm.
Jesus will never run out of ways of funding his work.
Mm, mm.
But we are the ones who stand to lose.
Okay.
Because that theological conviction of knowing that God is the one who has blessed me, acknowledging him as the owner of everything that I have, and giving him that place. Because, you see, when you return tithe first, it then already means I will acknowledge God with everything that remains. The benefit is not going to God. The benefit is coming to me by emphasizing that theological conviction in my life. Mm. It's not that God needs money and that his work will crumble if we don't do this. But human beings tend to lose when they do not exercise these good things that God has put in our life to remind us of his place in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Man, Pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through. I think it's a valuable, valuable discussion we've had with you. How would you like to close this discussion today?
Thank you for giving me an opportunity to, you know, close this segment with a wrapping up conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the key questions that we dealt with today was, is tithing still binding today?
Mm.
Especially considering that we are living under the new covenant. An interesting thing I met one day when I was reading in the Bible is in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14. Paul is talking about the support of the gospel. And in verse 14, he says, even so, had the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Why is he saying this? Because in verse 13, he has said, do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the holy things of the temple? And they which wait on the altar and are partakers with the altar. Even so, the Lord had ordained that they which preach the gospel should live off the gospel. So actually, Paul uses the system of the Old Testament to support the gospel as a basis for the New Testament way of supporting the gospel. And this actually strengthens us to continue using the Old Testament system where those who ministered at the sanctuary had a part in what was brought. So we should continue to bring it so that those who minister in the gospel will be supported as they go ahead.
Mm. Beautiful stuff. I like the way you ended it, my pastor. Thank you so much for your time. We will connect with you again tomorrow, same time and same place. Have a fantastic day further.
Thank you. Thank you. Same to you.
Lovely. Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.